The following is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
And this time we're just going to have the Croatia team update, and so that'll comprise the rest of our time. And so we had eight people from our church go on this trip in late July, early August. We have been quite connected with Croatia for good reason over the last 9 years. We went in 2016 with a team the first time and helped in this town of Krapina, where there's a church, there's a training school for pastors, and we've been connected. Christine and I have been connected with them kind of since 2009 or 11 when we first emailed a missionary there. And so our hearts are very much connected to Pastor Mishko and now Daniel Herzeg, who's serving there. So not everyone who went is able to be here. Joel's teaching up in middle school. But those of you who went, why don't you come up front, because I'm going to try and get you involved as well and give some input with things that maybe we need to give better perspective on than I can. So Katie, Michael, Leslie, and Terry, why don't you come up front just so you're available. And Michael, I'm going to give you the clicker so you have the power to let people see what you want them to see, and as much as it's already up here. So just to start, I wanted to look at what Acts 14 says. This is part of Paul's first missionary journey. So if you have your Bibles, you can look at Acts 14, 16 to 28, just by way of introduction. Acts 14, 26 to 28. And this is after Paul has gone around to these initial churches with Barnabas and others with the support of Antioch. And they're on their way back. And it says, from there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. So this is the sweetness of missions, is not just the going and the doing, but also the reporting and the sharing and reflecting on what God has done to perhaps even open doors of faith to lost sinners. So that's our hope this morning, that we would just report back to you the things which we've seen God do in Croatia. We're just a blip on the timeline of what God might be doing in the places that we were. And we realize that very humbly. We want to support the Herzegs. We want to support the church that we went and partnered with. But we can't see as much fruit as perhaps Barnabas and Paul did in that day. But we definitely at least got a taste, a glimpse of what we're praying that the Lord would do there. So I'm kind of reminded of the church in Corinth in Acts 18 when Paul went to Corinth, humble beginnings. He was just laboring day by day and working with some other tent makers to go and reason with Jews and Greeks in the Sabbath. And 18:5 says that Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And we need to pray that we would likewise be a seed in the places that we were in Croatia just a few weeks ago. And we need to pray that others might go there, because we went to a new town with new work. And it's like pre-planting. If we're planting seeds, well, we were just seeing what rocks were there and trying to remove some with the direction of the local indigenous church there and help in ways that we could to devote ourselves for a very short time so that a long work could continue there. And so Paul actually stayed in this town of Corinth for 18 months, and it says in verses 6 through 8 that there is resistance. And there is always resistance to the gospel if it is the gospel. But in verses 9 and 10, it says, the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, don't be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. And he did, and there was a church in Corinth, and three or four letters Paul exchanged with them. We have two in our New Testament. But the Lord knows who are his and his plans, and we want to faithfully proclaim that word. So we went to Croatia with the eight of us to a town called Pregrada. There'll be no quizzes on pronunciation. If you say it like an American, that's just fine. It's a town about 18 minutes west of Krapina. And yes, people say that's sad that their name is that way because in English it sounds funny, right? But the purpose was to sow seeds and infuse the gospel in a new place. See, the church in Krapina is the only not Catholic church in the whole county. So you can drive 30 minutes in any direction from this church and you won't hit another church. It's the only one for 120,000 people. It's the least reached county in Croatia, and that's where they chose to plant a church about 30 years ago and start a training school for pastors. So we were asked to come and try and initiate a new work in a new town, partly to encourage the believers in the church. This is what we're praying for. This is what we want to do, but also just to be visibly active in that place. And we'll talk more about how that opened some doors. But we wanted to make a splash in the city and create some new opportunities and make more contacts for the church and encourage Daniel, of course, and the church. But also we ourselves, one of the goals is always to grow and be sanctified and encourage Maranatha on the return. So we hoped when we left to do many things. We didn't do all of them, because that's how it goes on the mission field. Sometimes it's fluid. Sometimes it rains. Sometimes things are canceled. People can't come. So we wanted to distribute tracts, and we'll talk more about that and why. And then make some contacts, share the gospel explicitly, because people 40-ish and younger do understand English. So it's a rare opportunity that language isn't so much a barrier to everyone. We wanted to point people to the local church that we were tied with and to leave, not putting any more burden on the Herzegs in the church than before we left. So just to be an encouragement to them. So in May, I was in Croatia for Daniel's ordination, and we went and did some pre-work in this town and just tried to identify ways we might have opportunities and intersect with people and talk to people in the restaurants. And we called the city to find out about volunteering. We contacted Every Home for Christ, which distributes tracts, and they're actually almost done giving a tract to every home in the country of Croatia. They're about a year away. For 4 million people, which is roughly 2 million homes or so. So that's an encouragement. Every Home for Christ is many things here in the States, but there it has good leadership, and they connect people to churches there. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get any contacts from work they'd done in the past because it's not legal to share people's contact information if you're not part of that organization. So, but I did get the list secretly, and there actually aren't any people in the area we were working in from the previous work. So in 2018, we had canvassed those areas. So tract ministry. Michael, we can show people now. So, wow, it's sensitive, isn't it? So these are small tracts that describe the joyful news of salvation. And that was, I guess, one of the words that I tried to use when I was talking with people in Croatian, is there's just not a lot of joy put out there in the world. We could all use a little bit of joyful news. This is something you should consider reading. And we had to prepare by putting stickers on the back of each one with the church contact information. And then we met and we prayed, and here's some of the members of the church, Ivana and Mario, he's one of the deacons, and Sylvia, and that's Daniel Herzeg over to the left. And we, over three mornings, covered about 30 square miles and delivered tracts to every home that didn't deny them, to 17 villages, which comprised about 1,600 homes. So it's pretty cool to think about the numbers. Now, the reality is, like you, if you were to receive something from the Jehovah's Witnesses, it probably goes right to the trash, right? And that is probably the case with many of them as well. But we also had direct contact and conversations with people. And so there was Antonia shared about her and Katie talking to this guy. I'm sure you remember the whole conversation, Katie. It was in Croatian, so that's why we tried to go two by two with Croatian-speaking person, at least. But a man lost a friend a long time ago, and he worked for many years at being good and righteous, and he had many people disappoint him. So Antonia just asked if he knew what a friend we have in Jesus and let him know that God never disappoints us. So just brief interactions like that to encourage people to consider the word, and sometimes even asking them, do you have a Bible? Because we had Bibles available too. But there, unfortunately, was a lot of rejection, wasn't there? People laughing at us, people who wouldn't even extend an arm to see what we were holding because it's just not part of their tradition and their identity to associate with anything not Roman Catholic. So you can pray for Milan. He's about 60 years old, who is looking like he's 95. He has poor eyesight, diabetes. He lost his leg, and Pastor Mishko explained to him the gospel, but the man is so hesitant because he doesn't know how his family will respond, that he even has the tract. And so this is the situation, is to be associated, to go to the building where the Baptist church meets or the not Roman Catholic church would meet, or to associate is sometimes a danger to the harmony in community or in your family. It's a bit of a shame, honor shame culture in that way, socially. Religiously, the Roman Catholic Church is built on guilt. And you are wrong, and you will always be wrong. Keep trying so that you will be right enough maybe someday, and we'll pray for you afterwards. And we'll ask for money even after you're dead so that we can help you get to heaven in those ways. So it's quite oppressive and guilt-driven religiously, but socially it's very shame and honor-driven that you don't want to have a bad picture painted for your family, your people. Several other conversations that we had, I talked to a lady up on a remote hill, and when I told her of some of the encouragement she might find in this, she immediately started talking about her woes and her pains, and people have a hard life in those rural villages. They get up and they work and they raise their chickens, they have their garden, and that's how they make their living. They probably live on, you know, much less than we see in a paycheck annually. And they're able to do it because they own their homes. They have a history of family, gifted properties, etc. But she was glad to hear of good news. And she said, you know, my children are all gone away. All these foreigners are coming in, immigrating. And it's just discouraging to her to be up in the hills all alone. So I asked her if she had a Bible to read. She says she has one, and I encouraged her to read it. These are some of the interactions that we had. I also had a fun interaction with this gentleman. I understood most of what he said. He doesn't look like he has all his teeth, and I don't know if he does, but it was difficult to understand him. And just at one point in the conversation with him, I was telling him about who we were, what we were doing, that we were telling people about God, and he just said, everyone in Croatia is a believer. Everyone knows God. And I said, really? Everyone? You're absolutely certain everybody knows God? Oh, everybody knows God. And so I questioned him, and he laughed, and I asked him if I could take a selfie, and he just loved that. You know, I should have, you know, got his signature or something, too. But that was a good day. We reported back after we had gone out. We came back and just debriefed a bit about how it went for each of our groups. Day three, I think, was more discouraging. We got a lot of rejections, a lot of two-track roads up a hill, only to be denied at the gate. I don't want whatever you have. I don't want it. So we got a lot of that day three. But on day three, we had future fruit, in a sense it's fruit, where a guy called the church, called Daniel the following week and is interested in the Baptist church. He wants to know more, wants to know what they believe and teach, and, you know, curiosity. So whether that's a seed germinated or a potential, there's still more work to do there to water, to see anything there. But it's encouraging to know that with much rejection, that's how the Lord can use us. The means by which he'll communicate his gospel is us. He'll save them through the Holy Spirit and his word, but he'll use us. Anything else on tracks and the preparation, conversations you had, team? No? Okay. Well, tract ministry, even for us, it's a tool, and it can be used well. It can be used poorly. I try and select really good ones. The hokey tracks, I don't have a taste for, because I look at some of the pictures and I think I wouldn't probably read past page one if I open this up. But the tracks that are pointing people in the direction that they're already thinking, and it drives them towards the cross and their sin and salvation, the holiness of God, eternal life, and matters of the gospel. I feel like I can use those, and there's a conversation there to be had. We have some up here, as you know, at the end of our mailboxes, shameless plug for using tracks, and I see them go, and I replace them, so thank you for those who take the opportunity. But we have ones that are based on looking for hope and finding joy, and these are questions most people have, so use them as you would see fit. Okay, here's the picture of the villages we went to, and $15 for anyone who can pronounce any of these names that doesn't have a last name. Beacons in this room. Yep. All right. Štuparje, Benkovo, Svetojurski Vrh. Those are difficult names even for me. This is the Vrh. Vrhnje. It's sour cream. Vrhnje. And I had to say that a lot because I'm lactose intolerant. So Vrhnje was one of the earliest hard words I had to learn. In the evenings, then, we were also tasked with trying to go into the town and engage people and meet them, make contacts, because, I mean, even, again, I'm going to compare a little bit to our situation. If a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, you're probably not going to have a very long conversation, and they're on to the next one. But if you play basketball with them, you're fine with playing basketball with them. So I'm just trying to put yourself in the shoes of someone like a Jehovah's Witness. They will not have a voice, but you might play basketball with them. That's all I'm saying about the Jehovah's Witnesses, and there it stops, because we have nothing else in common, because they serve a different Christ with different rules. But we wanted to engage the lost here just through normal human interactions. We would give some of them tracks. The volleyball players. This is Maria. She's a volleyball coach. Leslie's talking to her and inviting her to come to the church. This is a lieutenant in the Army. And September 1st, he goes to basic training in a different part of the country. And so I was just interacting with him, asking him about, I was telling him who we were and asking, do you know anyone in Protestant churches? And he did think of one, and he had been to a church on a field trip to discover other religious churches. He went to a mosque. He went to a Orthodox, it wasn't like a Greek Orthodox. It was something different, but I don't remember. And then he went to the Baptist church. So through volleyball, soccer, Kika's involvement, Christina Herzeg, Daniel's wife, interacted with some moms, and I think Katie and Antonia did as well over on the little kids area. This is Ivana. She's a member of the church, so, and these are the Herzeg's kids. And this is Antonia, who, as soon as she has her visa, will come get married to Justin and join us in our church. So we're looking forward to that. She was a blessing. If you see her, thank her. She was every day with us, and was a great help. So we also got to interact. I don't know if we have any pictures. We don't, but there's a lot of foreigners coming to Croatia from Nepal, Sri Lanka, Philippines, maybe about 10,000 in the country because they're allowed to come on work visas and make money. And one of the Filipino guys I talked to, his wife is actually working in Canada while he works in Croatia. So they really need the paychecks that badly, I suppose. But we did meet two believers from the Philippines, and so I tried to encourage them to connect with the church and find fellowship. And while language is a struggle because they haven't learned Croatian, there are English speakers like myself sometimes who go there. So there are opportunities for them to learn and grow in Christ. On that note, there's a billboard. Some of you will really like this, but there's a billboard in the capital that says in four languages, if you came here to work, you need to learn our language. So some of you will appreciate that here. And yeah, call your congressman or just go buy a billboard. But there was also a guy, a foreign guy that I talked to who's part of a cult, a worldwide church with only one leader. And they don't have any pastors, just one leader. They don't believe in the Trinity. And they all meet online via Zoom. He's called the overall servant. If it sounds spooky, it kind of is. It gets worse. Aspiring members take part in meetings they call mass indoctrination sessions. Sounds like a church you want to join, doesn't it? So they're a mess. But he did know some scripture. But unfortunately, it's all through the grid of whatever that pastor has said. I asked him, do you read your Bible? He says, no, I just listen to what the leader says.
This is through some Korean people?
This is Filipino. Oh. And so it's the International Members of the Church of Christ is what it's called. And it's very specific. It's not Church of Christ. It's International Members of the Church of Christ. And, but yeah, all kinds of issues with Trinity and understanding of ecclesiology. But so they're infusing themselves into Croatia. So Mishko and Daniel and I talked about kind of a secondary level ministry to have with English materials as a universal language. Any items, any questions, by the way, feel free to raise your hand, ask, let's interact a bit. Yeah.
One of the things we see across the world, but especially the West, is just demographic collapse, where the population is collapsing basically because there's not enough women to have 2.1 babies, I guess they said. But are you seeing that like in Croatia? In other words, that would be one reason why their foreigners are coming into work is because there's, but I was just curious if you're seeing that.
Yeah, I think it's more socio-economical. So in 2013, they became part of the EU and just recently opened the Schengen borders so that there can be free travel in between in Europe. And we'll get into that a lot. But basically, a lot of the talent, they graduate from college and go off to Berlin or Munich, and they can make more money. And then they'll be back often. Weekends, summers, vacations, because Europeans get 6 weeks of vacation, so they're going to take advantage of that. But yeah, there is a lessening. It used to be that there was one person, there's three people working for every one person not, and now it's a one-to-one, people taking advantage of the system and being unemployed and receiving partial benefits and then getting cash jobs. And so there's all kinds of issues like that, but as far as population, it is shrinking slightly. And whether it's because of migration or because of what you were talking about, just not as much production, but reproduction. But I'm not savvy to all of those inner workings as much anymore. Yeah. Yes, Norma. It's not Mormon. It's a non-Trinitarian cult based out of the Philippines. And so it's not Mormon, but it's not really doctrinally, biblically sound either. Yeah. International Members of the Church of Christ. And you almost have to look it up in Tagalog just to find it because it's so obscure. There's a lot of people worldwide now, multinational, but yeah. But that's just one guy in a town, and he doesn't even speak Croatian, so he won't have much influence there. Yes, Terry.
One of the...
Microphone? That's fine. We have it, so.
One of the...
Push the button.
One of the things from the mission team's perspective as being a mission team is several of us have been over there other times, and I think everything, I've always done some type of an English camp. This time it was totally different process and goals, and from what I understand, you guys always talk and say, what does Daniel need?
What do we need? What
yeah, the and then move into that. Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so there were three times during the week that it just really caught my attention as to how different this is and how Satan can discourage a mission team in a situation like this. The very first time was as we were meeting and talking about a lot of the rejections that we were getting, and people would say, no, thank you, I have a Bible and Mary is in my house, I'm good, or something like that.
Or and I don't have any time to read.
Yeah, oh yeah, or I don't have time to read, and so on. And so they were very dismissive, but Pastor Mishko brought something up I thought that was very interesting, and he said the leadership of the Catholic Church is very clearly protecting their flock. And they're encouraging them, don't talk to outsiders, don't interact with outsiders, you know. And so they're working at protecting their flock. And that caught my attention. And then Ivana, one day when we were talking with her, she gave us a lot of good insight and behind the scenes as to what the Croatian believers, what they go through in trying to grow their church. And she said, it is absolutely just as critical to develop a relationship along with presenting the gospel because of that distrust and because of that, you know, protection that the Catholic leadership is doing with their people. And so that caught my attention. And then a conversation Joel and I had probably one of the last evenings when we'd both done the English camp thing, and so this was very different. And so we were saying, okay, what are the differences? What did you see that was easier? What did you see that was harder? And we concluded that the English camps are very physically exhausting, particularly if you're older, but they're very, very rewarding, instant reward, because you have a lot of kids. The kids are excited about being there. They love what you're doing with them. They love the opportunity to talk to real Americans. And then at the end, the parents come in and you have a presentation of what the kids have learned. And I remember particularly at the last English camp, there were parents that were crying to see their kids up in front singing gospel songs in English. What drove those tears? I don't know. Were the tears because their kids were becoming very fluent in English and that was very important to them? I would like to believe that they were sobbing because their kids were able to express biblical truths in English. I don't know, but God does. And so it feels like, and there's the trick word, it feels like there's instant gratification for the mission team's perspective. You see a lot happen. You see a lot of people. You see impact. Now you switch to what we did this time, and the impact is different because you don't necessarily see the picture. You don't sense. You're not in front of masses. You know, you're not. It's a hard process. And so we were comparing them, and what we did this time, though, was so absolutely critical, and this is what we concluded, because, it, like you said, it's the baseline. In fact, it's even below the baseline. It's just, like you said, moving rocks to see what could possibly grow. But it's absolutely so critical. And Satan will discourage the workers when they don't see fruition right away. And that is just something that we had to guard our hearts and just recognize. Right now, our objective is to be obedient and to do what God has led Daniel to have us do. And that was really good to recognize where these people are and the very few little contacts that you have. There was one house, Mario and I walked a really long ways, really far up to the very top where there was one house with one of the million-dollar views that you see in Croatia. One house. And an elderly lady came out, didn't speak any English. In fact, Mario started talking to her, and he said, I can't even understand her very well because of a dialect that she had. So he's kind of struggling. She's very curious because she has people visiting her house. And so he's giving her the material, and she's looking at it. And like you said, it's very attractive. It's a bright red color. Red is important in Croatia. So there's a lot of draw. And she's like looking it all over. And then bless her heart, her adult grandson came out, obviously to protect his grandma. But he was very nice. He was very curious about why we walked all the way up to the top to their house. And so, but he also took the literature and looked at it. And there was a very positive curiosity that you could see in his face as he read down through it. And as we're trying to talk, or Mario's trying to talk with Grandma, and it was a really interesting perspective. And my heart tells me God is going to move into that young man's curiosity, because it wasn't a rejection. It wasn't leave my grandma alone. It wasn't like hand it back to us. That literature is going to end up on an end table in that house somewhere. And it's going to be read by more than one person. That was the positive type of curiosity. Those are the things that drive you to the next house, and the next house, and the next house. So I appreciate the opportunity to do something totally different that didn't have that instant gratification, that instant right away, that energy. The one perk was with this mission trip, we got to rest 2 hours every afternoon. We were the best rested mission team I have ever been on in all my years, because nothing happens in the afternoon. So we went back to the villa and we rested for 2 hours before we stepped back out again. So that was the one big perk.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we never know what's going to happen with those, if they'll read them, if they'll seek out the answers from God's word. Yeah, Terry mentioned a different kind of trip. Raise your hand if you've ever been on a short-term ministry trip, inside or outside the borders. Yeah, quite a few hands. How many of them were construction or work project related? Yeah, how many were a programmed evangelism like VBS? Okay, quite a few. Any just training leaders, just training pastors, leaders? I see one hand. Very good. Thanks, Bob, for doing that with our missionaries. Yeah, it's very good. And then training or teaching in the church. That's what we did last year. Last year, we were asked to come and just teach on discipleship for the church and do some work as well. Yeah, we've done those. And this one was not programmed like a VBS, but it was very spontaneous evangelism. We were planning to do spontaneous evangelism and pre-work for future work. So the big three prayer requests for, I should do it European, I almost did that, European three, ways that we were asked to pray was pray for souls to understand the gospel and respond. Second, that a man and his family would move to Pregrada and do the hard work like Paul did, what we read in Acts, of laboring day by day for souls there and raise up a church by the Lord's grace. And the third, Mishko asked us to keep praying for Bielovar, where Christine and I were. And that was pretty incredible, because that town still does need a church. But so it is a hard work to do that. It's not as planned and programmed, but it's equally important. All right, let's shift gears to working with the city. So there was a few no-goes. We tried to look at going to the marketplace where there you could put up a stand and give out free literature or books. Well, we didn't do that. It wasn't in our interest. They were hot days, very few people in this marketplace. We talked about going to the bus station and giving out free literature, books. Daniel and I have done that in Bielevar and found that to be effective to some degree to meet people. Well, the bus station is no longer in existence and they're building apartments there, so we didn't do that. And music on Friday night. Antonia's church and their youth were going to come and sing and play music in the town square. Well, it was supposed to rain, so they decided not to come. And that's how we had to be flexible. But there were key ways we were able to connect with the city, and the mayor wants to have coffee with Daniel in the future. Here's the mayor on the left, and here's two of the city workers. So we also have good relationship now with the city works director. And if you could go to the one at the back of the truck. Yes, so here's the director, and have a great relationship with them. And simply that a church not Catholic would want to come to their town and make it more beautiful was something of a testimony that will, you know, we're praying would bear fruit in the future. And these relationships sometimes do take years, where in the city of Krapina, where there's that English camp we've helped with, that's gone on for 15 years, but that's all because Momir had a relationship with the superintendent in the school, and that was longstanding. So sometimes those things bear fruit in the future. And there's believers in the church today because of that English camp. So you work your way back, and sometimes there is a long road that you're a part of. But we basically cleaned a pathway, we cleaned a park, and we took care of the trash in the cemetery. Do we have a picture of the cemetery?
I don't think we do.
Oh, that's sad. Well, the cemetery, man, that's unfortunate. Cemeteries there are so different than ours. Instead of just individual headstones, you have what look like 8-foot beds that are raised, and slate or marble or some kind of material, and then the headstone, and they put lots of candles all over them, so it's lit up like a Christmas tree at night, especially around All Saints Day, and they're hoping that souls would find their way back to their bodies, and they're praying that these people would get to heaven, their relatives. And so we cleaned up a lot of the old candles that had burned out in the trash and had, you know, eight to 10 bags of trash, just helping the city with that. So we were also a blessing to Vicky and Kiki, the two workers. They normally are the grunt labor, and they were honored to have some leadership. And I think they just kind of reveled in their supervisor role. But we got to know them, Vicky and Kiki. And so just multiple contacts. All right, next slide. There's the layout of the town. The church. Here's our relationship with the church. I'm just kind of working our way from the furthest to the nearest, if you will. Furthest to the nearest in the sense of people who don't know the Lord to now are the church that we're partnered with and the ministry there. So like I said, in May, we ordained Pastor Mishko and on Memorial Day weekend. They have 42 members, and you can see on the next slide their prayer requests that they post is evangelism, discipleship, the mission of the church, the music ministry, and taking care of those in their church, the sick. So that's what they post on their wall, the prayer requests. And so during the two services we were involved in, one we got to take part in a potluck, and they're very influenced by Americans because of missionaries. So there were even crockpots and barbecue pulled pork. And but here's the gathering with some of the longtime members here and here and this whole table. And so it was a blessing to be a part of the church do continue to pray for them and their unity. There's an issue to pray about right now. We'll just call it disagreements, like we heard in the sermon this morning. And so we want to pray that the Lord would work out for peace what needs to be there. And it does. Nearly every day, members from the church came to Pregerda to help sow those seeds. And some were sad that they didn't. And others wish they could have done more. It's not the ideal time because of vacations and such to be involved in that, but they were a blessing to us for sure. And hopefully, as far as I talked with Mishko and Daniel about it, we were an encouragement to them. So I had a meeting with Mishko, and he just said that we have to learn from these things, these times together. And he said, what we believe to be the truth has to be our absolute conviction. As we go and we deliver the gospel, we cannot compromise. There must be no compromise. I'll tell you, that was probably the highlight for me on this trip, was just getting to spend time with Mishko and Daniel, but just realizing Mishko's something of the Croatian John MacArthur, and getting to rub shoulders with someone who's had so much influence across really the countries that made up for former Yugoslavia and beyond. I'm just grateful for him and his ministry there. But their desire is to continue the partnership with our church. They're very thankful for our church. And in their leadership meeting last week, they said, you know, just like Kurt said, Maranatha is praying for this. We have to remember to pray for them. And so there really is a partnership. We're together for the long road, as I see it. Not necessarily sending people all the time, but at least in support and prayer and involvement, and as we're able to send the right people to help. So their desire is to launch out into that town of Pregrada for a new church. And we need to pray that the word would work in people's hearts. He says we need to pray for a guy and his family and do the daily work of plowing, tilling, and sowing, and then to pray for Bielovar. And it's still strong on Mishko's heart. So his desire would be that maybe we could send some people who are musically gifted and desire to do something with music. So if you're out there, we had approximately 0.7 people on our team together that were very musically gifted. So that's added all up. And so just being able to play a guitar or a lead in some way. So they're asking for that way to connect with people. Music is effective there for the purpose of evangelism. And then they also pray for their follow-up ministry. The Church Emmanuel Baptist Church in Krapina, they want to go once a month and continue to sow seeds there. So pray that they would, pray that it would be effective. So we also made many relationships with people. Oh, let's show this next slide if we haven't yet, because that's just a fun picture with Mishko and Katie. Yes, that's Mishko. Mishko Hrvatek. And fun fact, so he was a pastor in a church in Austria, in Vienna, Austria, and working among expatriate Yugoslavs. And you know who else was working there? It was Frank Dragish and Michael Cochran. Thank you. Supported missionaries of Maranatha Bible Church throughout the 90s. So our church supported people who were ministering to his kids and the church that they were in. So there's been a connection even 30, 40 years back. Pretty cool. Relationships. Please pray for the relationships that the church needs to follow up with. The man who responded to the tract, I think his name is Milovan. Milovan. And the PE teacher and gymnastics coach, Dario, who played volleyball with Katie and Michael. They were our volleyball squad. And then the volleyball coach, Maria, the president of the soccer club. Joel had a 10, 15-minute conversation with the soccer club president on the phone. There wasn't an opportunity to work with the team because they were just running all week. So we didn't really want to just go run with a team. The two ladies who ran the museum, they'll have coffee with Daniel. The landlord of the villa where we lived wants to continue to stay in touch with Daniel. And the mayor, the head worker, the superintendent of the schools wants to stay in touch. So it's interesting. We have clearly an ambition to bring them the gospel. And they're also interested in ways that we might serve in other non-gospel ways, I suppose you might say. So the church is the sender and the authority in missions involvement, and we go to plant local indigenous churches, and so together we partner for the gospel work that's happening there. And so pray for growth, pray for expansion, pray for leadership training, as Daniel also trains, I think, 9 students right now. And obviously Kika and their family to continue persevering. Any questions so far about the church, about Daniel and Kika and our relationship with the church and the missionaries? Yes?
I just have one question. Mm-hmm.
No, I have not heard that name.
Okay, I didn't know if that was a church.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. There's more churches in certain areas, and maybe she's connected with those. Katie, do you want to share a little bit of just your take on what you've learned even since you've been back?
Yes, okay. Okay, I'm just going to read off the paper. So this trip was really an amazing experience for me. We met lots of people, saw lots of things, handed out over 1,500 tracts. We played lots of sports, ate new and interesting food, and we all just had such a wonderful time. And if you know me, I love people and I love children, and I just thrive off of that. And for 9 to 10 days, I lived with 7 other people, and I was constantly surrounded by people and children and strangers and friends all day, every day. But to me, it wasn't exhausting, and I loved it. I hear a lot of people say that they learned so much in and during a missions trip, but to me, I learned something after. I came home Monday night around 8 p.m., and I just did not want to go to bed. I had that, like, after camp high feeling, and just, I was not tired, even though it was 2 a.m. body time, and I got up at 2:30 a.m. that day for our 4 a.m. flight. I had the excitement from Croatia, and it was ending, but I just didn't want to part with it. And the next day, I was home alone the majority of the day, and I was just really sad that the trip was over. I missed it. I missed the team. I missed Antonia and the Herzegs, the church, the people we met at the park, the members of the church. I missed the adrenaline, and I missed the feeling of feeling productive and important and serving others in the Lord. It made me sad, and I felt bored, unproductive, and almost useless. I was constantly looking at the hundreds of photos that I had taken to absorb all of the memories back. The next day, I was reading in 2 Peter 1, mostly verses 5 to 8, but I'll just read the whole thing. So 2 Peter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they do not make you useless nor unproductive in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that kind of opened my eyes, and that if I had these qualities, I was not useless or unproductive. so that the feeling that I had felt the previous couple of days had been wrong. It wasn't wrong to miss all the things I missed, but it was wrong to feel bored with my life and feel unproductive and useless. Just because I wasn't in Croatia anymore serving people and doing the Lord's work did not mean that I didn't have to do it here in my own hometown. I can serve in my own country and in my state, at my home, and to people I know, my family, my friends, my church, and anyone. Mm-hmm. Serving anyone and everyone did not need to stop when I left Croatia. And not that I have been perfectly serving others since then. My whole mind and focus has shifted.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Katie. Yeah, that's great. These trips are also for our sanctification, and we grow in them. And hopefully you're encouraged even secondarily to serve and look for opportunities. And who can you share the gospel with? And how can I make inroads to talk with that person that I haven't talked with at work or at school? So they are good experiences for the goer. They're ultimately for the receiving church and the people that need to hear the gospel. But it does grow us and shape us to be useful vessels even here. That's good, Katie. I want to read a letter that Daniel wrote for you, similar to Brian Twombly's letter when they returned. He says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for you whenever I think of you. Your support, your prayers, your encouragement have been such a blessing to me and my family. Truly, you have been used by God in our lives in a huge way, and I cannot say enough how grateful I am for you. It's a sweet joy for the partnership that we share in the gospel and that joy that it brings to me. Your love, prayers, and support have been a great encouragement to me and my family, and truly, you have been a huge blessing from the Lord. It was such a joy to welcome Pastor Kurt and the team who came from among you. To serve side by side with Pastor Kurt again was very special to me. I had missed working with him, and God has used him a lot in my life. Even when he is not here in Croatia, his ministry still bears fruit among us, for it is not the number of years a person spends in Croatia that matters, but how faithful he is with the days God gives him to be in Croatia. And Pastor Kurt has been faithful, and through him and you, God has given fruit in this land." That was a lot about me. I'm sorry. He wrote it, not me. "I have to share that I am truly saddened that I could not visit you all earlier this year, around March, when he typically comes. There's nothing I would have loved more than to spend time with you all, worshiping together, sharing meals, and encouraging one another. And he couldn't because of his responsibilities as a teacher with the school and meetings in California. The visit of the team was the highlight of the year for the Herzig family. Their encouragement, love, and labor refreshed us, and God used them to strengthen us for the work ahead. Thank you, Michael, Terry, Joel, Anna, David, Leslie, and Katie. Your partnership in the gospel through your gifts, your prayers, and encouragement have been a huge blessing to me and my family and the saints in Krapina. May the Lord himself remember your work and labor of love, and may he supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you for your tremendous support, which comes not only financially, but in many, many other ways, often in ways that mean even more than finances. Please keep us in your prayers as we continue to seek the best way forward with a particular situation in our church. So please continue to labor with us in prayer. Pray for the lost people of Pregrada, that the Lord would open their hearts to believe the gospel. Pray for the salvation of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Isabel, and whosoever comes next." There's no news. We asked him that. That was one of our questions. Pray also that the Lord's provision in housing, that our family might continue to serve his bride here. So just a note, after talking with the Herzigs this week, he was actually searching for new houses to live in and found his own for sale again. So the landlord said they have till March, but then posted their apartment again online. So he's not sure at this point if they need to be urgently looking or if they do have till March. He says, "In closing, Maranatha Bible Church, thank you for standing with us, not only through financial support, but through prayers, encouragement, and fellowship. In Christ, we are privileged to partner with you. on behalf of Herzig family and on behalf of Emmanuel Baptist Church, thank you for sending such a faithful and encouraging team to serve with us. Your partnership in the gospel is a constant blessing. With deep gratitude in Christ, your Croatian servant, Daniel Herzig. So, yes.
That, share that encouraging story of Daniel coming to Christ after you were there.
I don't know if I could tell it the way that he did, but essentially, Christine and I went and visited Croatia in 2013, talking with Chris Brackett, one of the missionaries, about where we might go and who we might serve alongside of. And he gave me a list of four or five trained guys from their school, and then he told me each of their locations and what they were doing and how it might work out. And then he said, but you know, who knows, maybe the guy you work with isn't even saved yet. Mm-hmm. And actually, 2 weeks ago, we figured out, we think Daniel Herzig was saved that month, later that month, and that's who we ended up working with. And he went to the training center later that year, and we met him and continued on. So the Lord does direct our paths the way that they need to go, not always the way we think they will go. Let me just close in prayer for the Herzigs and just in thankfulness for what God is doing and will do. Father in heaven, you orchestrate all things for your glory. Your plan is great, and the ways that you have established and fixed the appointments of people coming to understand your gospel are good, and we trust you in them. We pray that we would be fruitful and faithful servants. Make us fruitful by your Spirit. Make us faithful by our diligence and dependence on you in the task that we have. We pray, Lord, for the Herzegs and their continued diligence in the church in Krapina and reaching the lost for Christ in Pregrada. We pray that you would raise up maybe somebody at the school, and as Chris Brackett said 12 years ago, maybe somebody who isn't even saved yet will be raised up by you to go to Pregrada and lead a church there. We trust you in those things. We don't know. We trust you, and we just pray that all of the diligent labor that Terry and Leslie and Anna and Katie and Michael and Joel and David and myself were able to be a part of would produce fruit in your timing and for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening and presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.